Jesus has received unprecedented popularity from the people and strong opposition from the scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. All of this has resulted in Jesus being accused of being in league with the devil. Remember last week they said he by Beelzebub doth cast out devils, the prince of devils. When God speaks, we have a responsibility to listen. God is speaking through the Messiah. Is anybody listening? The Hebrew writer says, God, in which sundry times, in divers manners, spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath, past tense verb, already happened, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The same word of God that spoke Jesus into being is the same word of God that made and created the worlds. This is our first recorded teaching in parables that we found in the Bible. It's also found, this parable of the sower, is also found in Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8. Mark's report is almost exactly like that of Matthew. Word for word, it's almost exactly like that of Matthew, as well as the explanations that follow. Matthew gives the fullest account of this teaching, reporting a number of parables that are not found in Mark or in Luke. The multitude was so large that Jesus entered a small boat. That's the meaning of the word ship there. Ship's a huge boat, but it was a small boat to avoid the pressing crowd. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 4, verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, these parables are only specimens of Jesus' teaching. They're not all that he taught. This is everything that is recorded. And what was written was recorded and written to produce faith in us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In John chapter 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So everything written in the Bible is written to produce faith in us that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The psalmist, David, in the Old Testament, had prophesied that in 1,000 years, when the Messiah came, that he would speak in Proverbs. Psalm 78, verse 1 and 2. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears unto the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark things of old. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Jesus defines the sower as himself, as Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 37. The seed is the word of God, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. And the earth is the heart of people, where the great battleground is between God and Satan, the heart of man, is Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Mark 4, 4. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured him up. This type of person is a hard-hearted hearer. It's described as the wayside. And in the field, there were paths in the field, just like we've got this aisle here. And paths went down the side of the field. And this path was hard from people walking through the field. It's become hard through years of people trampling through the fields. And so some seed falls upon the wayside. Mark 4, 4. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell in the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured him up. 4, 5. And some fell on stony ground, as it has not much earth, it immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. This type of person is a shallow-hearted hearer. They hear the word of God, but it doesn't take root very deep. But when the sun was up, Mark 4, 6, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Mark 4, 7. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. This type of person is a crowded-hearted hearer, a carnal, sinful disciple. And we've all been there, haven't we? Mark chapter 4, verse 8. And others fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. The Christian heart is a true disciple of Christ, and it brings forth fruit. Mark chapter 4, verse 9. And he said unto him, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Why? Verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time that they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. That seeing they may see, Matthew gives this saying more clearly if you want to go read that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 13. Just as in Isaiah's day, the Jews have become hard-hearted, and Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123. Be sure to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. It's like a hyphenated word, -churchofchrist.com. I'm happy to report that we've had over 1 million hits this year on our website. We'd like to welcome Radio Abilene to us this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell his people, hear ye indeed, but ye understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without habitation, and houses without man, and the land utterly destroyed. And just as it was in Isaiah's day, Isaiah preached to them, and all of Israel is destroyed in 722 B.C. by the Assyrians. And then the Babylonians come under Jeremiah, the next prophet, and everything in Judah is destroyed, and finally Jerusalem is destroyed in 586 B.C., and there's no man left in the land, and all the houses and everything is utterly destroyed. Just like in Isaiah and Jeremiah's day, it's going to be the same in Jesus' day. Jesus is going to preach to them. They're not going to listen. They're going to murder him in 30 A.D. The apostles and the disciples are then going to preach to him between 30 A.D. and 70 A.D. And they're not going to listen to them. And they're going to kill the disciples. And they're going to kill the apostles. And they're going to kill the early Christians. And because of that, Rome is going to come and utterly destroy the land. And it's going to wind up desolate, just like it did in Isaiah's day. Just as what Jesus is saying. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? This parable is so simple and so obvious that if you can't get this one, you'll have trouble with the more difficult parables that there are. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 37, Jesus said, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So Jesus is the original sower. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. And these are they that are by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sowed in their hearts. This is the hard-hearted hearer, the first type of disciple, an intellectual disciple. They have distorted thinking about God, ritualism, customs, and practices. They just can't put it all together and understand. Legalism is an example of this type of disciple and this type of person. They're marble-hearted disciples, have the heart of a pawnbroker. They're marble-hearted disciples. They have their own idea about God. Baptized with a baptism of fervor instead of remission of sin. They refuse to follow the light they've been given. And not being born again, they have no love. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. And his brothers were righteous. Isn't it amazing that the judgmental generally throw a lot of rocks at people and they have just as bad a sin as their own selves? The path of their heart is hard from past hoof, foot, and wheel that's gone through this wayside, this path alongside the feet. And so the path of their heart is hard, and the seed can't take root. With each failure and rejection in life, hard defensive barriers have been erected. An example of hard-hearted people are the Jews who were forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years under Moses. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, speaking of those Jews, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left unto us into entering into his rest, that any of us should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. For the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed by faith in them that heard it. For we which believe do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath that ye shall not enter into my rest, though my works were finished from before the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief." See, some people are not going to be able to enter because of unbelief, even though they've heard the word. "Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after such a long time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Hard-hearted hearers, harden not your hearts. And so let's drop down now to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Many claim to have been born and raised up in the Church of Christ. There's a lot of people today that say, "Oh, I was born in the Church of Christ, raised up in the Church of Christ," ignoring the fact that you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You can't be born and raised up in the Church of Christ. Jesus answered and said unto them, John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, when a person is born again, then God adds him to the church, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This kind of person has never really come to Jesus and allowed him to deal with their emotions or their feelings. A lot of people hang around the Church of Christ and never come to Jesus. John 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So the fact that the hard-hearted hearer is cast out shows you that he's never come to Christ. He's never just come to Christ. They have no desire to practice Christianity in life's daily miseries that we have to go through. Most of the people like this are hard-hearted, judgmental, non-forgiving people. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123. Be sure to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus asked a question, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Pretty good question, isn't it? "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood rose, the streams beat vehemently on the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is likened to a man that is without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the storm did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Mark 4:16. "And these are they likewise that are sown on the stony ground, whom when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth before the word's sake, immediately they are offended." Some people lose their jobs. Persecution. They're persecuted at work. People at work make fun of them. And so they fall away because they don't have the backbone in themselves. They haven't tilled the field. They haven't got the rocks out of their own soul. They haven't cleaned their own heart up to come to Christ properly. And they don't have backbone enough to stand up and take it when tribulation or persecution or affliction arise. So if you're a big baby like that, and if somebody smarting off to you is going to run you off from God, you just never really did believe in God in the first place. You just had this emotional feeling. A shallow-hearted disciple is an emotional disciple. It's a heart of bedrock covered over with a thin layer of soil. It has a joyful beginning, but like a tire with a slow leak, it always needs more air, more emotion, or it goes flat. Let me tell you something. If the only time that you're going to believe in Jesus is when you feel good, there's going to be some days you don't feel good. There's going to be a days that you can't have any emotion, that you don't feel real good. There are going to be days that you feel bad. This seed is planted, but the root soon reaches the rock and has no emotion, no intellect. 1 Peter 2:2, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So when you become a Christian, you've got to begin reading your Bible, studying your Bible, listening to sermons, listening, go on our website, listen. There are hundreds of sermons there. Listen to singing. When the hot sun and problems arise, they don't have the ability to be a doer of the word. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. We must love God with our minds and our lives as well as our feelings. Mark 4:18, these are they that are sown among the thorns, are such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts and other things enter in, and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I want you to notice this list of things that can make you unfruitful. The cares of this world. I've got a guy that I know very well that is sick every Sunday morning. You know what he's got? He's got Saturday night-itis is what he's got. That's exactly what he's got. You can't get up Sunday morning if you're up all night Saturday night. Don't tell me, I've been there. If you go to bed Saturday night, you will get up Sunday morning. So a person who can't ever get up on Sunday morning has one problem. You know, it's like somebody who says, well, I've got insomnia. Can't sleep. I'm just up all night. You know, you want to know how to cure your insomnia? Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and stay yourself up all day long. And when you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you stay yourself up all day long, you know what you're going to feel like doing about 9 or 10 o'clock at night? You're going to feel like going to bed. And what is 8 hours from 9 to 10 o'clock? It's 6 o'clock in the morning. You're going to wake up 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. You'll start your day, and you can get back on track again. There's no such thing as insomnia. There's such a thing as staying up all night when you ought to be sleeping, and such a thing as sleeping all day when you ought to be up. That's what it is. Have I hurt a bunch of feelings? Have I hurt a whole bunch of feelings? Y'all go over rub your eyes. Oh, Brother Kelly. He told me the truth. I didn't like hearing the truth. Oh, woo-hoo. I'll find me another church. I'll go to another church. I'll go where they won't tell me the truth. Yeah, and what'll that do for you? Will that take you to heaven? Somebody lied to you, tickled your ear. Hey. Yeah. So the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, let me tell you something. We have a street ministry here, an inner city ministry, and I have seen more people go to hell by what? A government check. I have seen more people who could be saved as long as they were broke, and as soon as they start getting a check, what happens? What happens to them? Well, they go to drinking. They go to drugging. They get a check on the first of the month. They go lay up in a room with a woman. And as soon as the money's gone, the woman's gone. That's the truth. It's honest to goodness truth. One of the worst things that you could happen to you is you could get a free ride. God didn't design free checks. You understand? He wants you to earn your way with the sweat of your brow. And if somebody gives you your way in life, you're not going to respect it. If somebody gives you a new car, you're not going to respect it. I see people get new cars, give to them, they bang them up, give a kid a new car that didn't have to work for that car. They're going to wreck that car. They're going to bang that car into trees. They're going to bang it in the car. They're going to have no respect for it because they didn't sweat for it. The only way you're going to respect anything you get in life is sweat for it, earn it, work for it, then you can be proud of it. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Lust is to desire something that you don't have. Kids today think that they ought to, as soon as they graduate from high school, ought to have everything that their parents have worked all their life to get. They think that they ought to have a brand new car, that they ought to have a house, that they ought to have plenty of furniture, they ought to have a big screen TV, that they ought to have a sound box, that all of these things just come with life. I'd hate to think what would happen if we really had a depression in this country. We're not like our forefathers. Our forefathers lined up at soup kitchens and was orderly. And today they'll come and they'll shoot you in the head and they'll take your money. That's exactly what they'll do. It won't be like that. And it's because we have educated people in the school system to think that way. It's an absolute shame. We need to fire. You know, Shakespeare said long ago that there ought to be a revolution and the first people we ought to shoot is all the lawyers. There ought to be a revolution and the first people we ought to shoot is all the professors. That's who we need to get rid of. Because these are people who are just full of doubt and unbelief. The crowded hearted here is a carnal, sinful disciple. God is demanding of us absolute loyalty in first place in everything in our lives. God wants to reign supreme in your life. The thorns are singing. This disciple has no will to practice Christianity. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, you want to be like Jesus when he appeared? Every man that has this hope purified himself as he is pure. That means we start drinking less. That means we start drugging less. That means let him who steal, steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. Now, I just heard they're hiring anybody who wants to work out there at the fairgrounds. So anybody that doesn't have a job, go out there and apply for a job Monday morning. They're hiring anybody that wants to work out there. Anybody that has this hope with the resurrection of the dead, seeing God, seeing Christ, purifies himself. We need to start becoming more holy. If you cussing, you need to get it under control. If you fornicating, you need to stop it. And you need to control your thinking that's leading you to that type of thing, because you'll be ruined, you'll be lost if you do it. Jesus caught a woman in adultery. He didn't, but the crowd caught her and they was going to lynch her. And what did he tell a woman? He said, oh, just go ahead and keep doing what you're doing. Don't matter at all. God doesn't care. Is that what he said? What did he say? Go and sin no more. Now, that's what God would have us do. Go and sin no more. He's willing to overlook all of the sin that you committed, every bit of the sin, if you'll just please say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to try my best not to sin no more. God wants to reign supreme in our hearts. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Can you honestly thank God for your pleasures in life? James 1:17 said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. Can you really thank God for all your pleasures in life? Oh, thank you, Lord. I found a full bottle of Boone's Farm watermelon wine. You think it was from God? Do you really think it was God that gave you that bottle of Boone's Farm? Or that bottle of MD 2020? Huh? You think it was from God? I don't think it was from God. If you can't thank God for everything that you enjoy in life, then there's sin. 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin not unto death. We talked about that last week, about the unpardonable sin. There's really no such thing today. You can confess and get any sin that you've got in your heart forgiven.
Right.
Mark chapter 4, verse 20. These are they that are sown on the good ground, as such as hear the word and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. The Christian heart is a true disciple of Christ. Luke chapter 8, verse 15 really amplifies on this verse. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. So that means that I need to stop stealing and go to work, right? So that I'll have stuff to give to poor people.
Right.
That's the way that it works. Now it ought to dawn on you, right? Having heard the word of God, keep it and brings forth fruit. You'll be able to see it with patience. Now we've been patient around here. When I first started this, there was 40 of us, and I buried all but 7 or 8. And the building is almost full, not quite. We could still get some more in here, couldn't we? But it's sure a lot more than 40 of us here, ain't it? Isn't that wonderful? Now, it means that we're bearing some fruit. You can see it, right? There ought to be some fruit in your life that you can see that you're making a change in life. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, understand the word is a big thing. Solomon said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Fruit. Evangelism of lost souls is the work of the church and the most important work we do. There's nothing more important than bringing the lost to Christ. Amen. Preaching the word of God. That's why we've got 4 hours on the radio. We're on from 11 to 12 on 1630 AM here in all of North Texas. 5 to 6 and 9 to 10 on 1630. And on 1340 in Abilene, we're on Radio Abilene from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. Praise God. It's to spread the seed, the Word of God. Last month on our internet, we downloaded 11,060 sermons. That's just exactly like 2,700 people sitting here, 2,700 different people sitting here every Sunday morning. We have one of the biggest churches of Christ in the world. 2,765 on the web, 200 more here. We mail 100 CDs out, and that's not even considering our radio audience. We have a huge church. A huge church. Why? Because we spend the money here on two things: preaching the gospel and feeding the poor. Preaching the gospel and feeding the poor. Some people think that you can't feed the poor in the church building because of 1 Corinthians 11, and I've never found one of them that could explain to me how that could be talking about church buildings when there wasn't any church buildings when 1 Corinthians 11 was written. I've never found one that could explain that to me. I wish they'd go back to their professors and try to explain it to me. It can't be talking about that. And anybody that doesn't feed the poor is going to have a reckoning someday, because Jesus said, I was hungry and ye fed me what? Not. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was naked and ye clothed me not. I was sick and ye visited me not. I was in prison and ye came not unto me. You went to prison the first time last week, didn't you, brother preacher? First time. He's going again today. Praise God. Amen. About evangelism. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is a husbandman. John 15, verse 1. Every branch in me that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So if you don't bring forth fruit, God's going to take you away. Right. You're just not going to count in this kingdom of God and this church crowd. And he purgeth it. He prunes it. He cuts off the dead branches that what? that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Man, if you abide in there, you can be part of this ministry here. And thousands of people all over the world can hear.
Right.
On nothing. On nothing. You know, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. We are. We can do anything with nothing. This is the place that can do anything with nothing. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. The apostles could do that, and it'll be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so that you be my disciples. So just like the apostles went forward to bear fruit, they then give that message to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation throughout all of history. We who hear the word and believe and are good-hearted, the good-hearted hearers begin to bring fruit, and fruit is both souls and Christian character. There needs to be some change in your character. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, against which such there is no law. There's no rule against being loving. There's no rule against joy. There's no rule against peace. There's no rules against long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Temperance means you're not drinking as much as you used to.
Right.
You're not smoking as much dope as you used to. That's what temperance means. You're not looking at nearly as many girls as you used to. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. Y'all know what that word lust means, don't you? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Mark 4:21. And he said unto them, as a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, it is not to be set on a candlestick. 4:22. For there is nothing hid that shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret that should not come abroad. You know, there's nothing hid from the eyes of him to whom we have to do, the book said. That means God can see everything we do in secret. We might be thinking that we're up under the sheets. God sees right through the sheet. He knows exactly what we're doing and who we're doing it with. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear and what measure you met, for it should be measured unto you, and what you hear shall more be given. Take heed to what you hear. In Luke 8:18, it says how you hear. Both admonitions are very important. Our ears should be deaf to evil counsel, and we should hear attentively and earnestly and devoutly the words of the Lord. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. Be sure to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing, fair to Midland gospel preaching. There's 1,000 links on there where you can search the world for the Word of God. Mark 4:25. For he that hath to him shall be given, to him that hath not from him shall be taken even which he hath. Mark 4:26. So is the kingdom of God as a man that should cast seed into the ground. This parable is only given by Mark, but its general lessons are recorded in many other passages, such as Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9 through 11. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud, that it shall give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. God's word will not return void. He will accomplish exactly what he wants it to accomplish. In James chapter 5, he tells us, verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, a husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Closer now than it was then, isn't it? And then in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. Grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by which the gospel is preached to you. This kingdom of grace is in nature. We're the laborers together with God. The results of our work depend on him, not on us. And for the perfection of these results, he takes his own time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted, Paul says, and Apollos watered, another worker. Manuel works here. Eric works here. Jerry works here. Bernie works here. Carl works here. All kinds of people work here. I planted, and other people work here. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's what I want. I want pay. You don't really think I'm doing this for nothing, do you? I want pay. I'm not going to accept a paycheck down here. But I want pay. I'm going to be paid. I'm going to receive a reward, and it's going to be in direct proportion to my labor. Now, I don't know what that reward is, but I know it's better than Waikiki Beach because I've been to Waikiki Beach. I know it's better than Luau because I've been to the Luau. I know it's better than Fort Worth because I've been to Fort Worth, Woolworth, and Leavenworth. It's better than any of that. This is good stuff that we're going to get here.
Right.
For ye are laborers together with God, and you're God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. Mark chapter 4, verse 27. And should sleep and arise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. So while we sleep and rise, the giving the seed, the sowing time to germinate and come forward. It takes time to do these things. Mark chapter 4, verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. 4:29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. The time of the harvest is when the fruit is ripe. In this instance, when the word has produced faith, repentance, and obedience, then those who exhibit this type of fruit are to be gathered into the church. And as the scripture says, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Or sometimes it's putting in the sickle and reaping means that God takes us on to heaven at the end of our lives. Mark 4:30, and he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? And what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of a mustard seed when it is sown in the earth. It is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word of God unto them, and they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, that when they were alone, he espoused all things unto his disciples. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. On the same day that these parables were spoken, they were taught, they went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him in little ships There arose a great storm, and the wind and the waves beat the ship so that it was now full. This great storm you can find in Matthew 8, Luke 8 also. Sea of Galilee lies 600 feet below the Mediterranean Sea. And the great mountains of Lebanon lets this great draft of cold air come down to this sea. And there's great storms develop on this sea all the time. Mark 4:38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awakened him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Such astonishing display of power, the control of the storm in which men are helpless as infants, fill him with awe. What manner of being could he be to whom the storm and the winds and the sea obey? As he spoke to your heart this morning, as he said to your heart, Peace, be still. See, he can do that in his word. He can tell your heart, Peace, be still, and you can receive the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The Bible says that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no reason for you to be lost. That you need to confess Christ as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible teaches that we need to repent. In Acts 17:30 it says, The times of this ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible teaches we need to be baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you want to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. Just come right down to the front. Meet me down here at the front. If there's sin in your life, you need to help the church, the prayer of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?